Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
I'm going to invite some of our speakers for the poem up. We have Blanca Tiedheiding. Did I say that right? We have Robin Adams and Pastor Tracy. Now, while they read their poems, we don't want to clap if you're really loving what they're saying. We want to do the poem etiquette, which is, let me hear it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That gets them going. That gets them going, and they get real into it. So they got to do better. You guys will do better than me with one hand. Yeah, you got to do better. I've been fluffing garland, and I can no longer snap because all of the garland around here is just done. But you guys, I want to hear all the... Yes. All right. So, Blanca, go ahead and take us away as we go into our poetry reflection time. Oh, yes. And she'll need a mic. Okay. Shh. Do we have the jazz music?
God, I'm thankful that you are so faithful and you have everything under control. Everything is worked out more than I know, and for that, I'm so very grateful. I give you my burdens, which is what you asked for. Help me to remember to give you more thanks, though, and give you less complaints. So please, Lord Jesus, keep helping me learn to be still. It is there my heart is rightly positioned, and I find I become grateful and filled. And I know it's your will, Lord, that I'm thankful. You are full of such kindness and patience for the broken. I've tasted and seen, God, you have been so gracious to me. You have been my defender, protector, corrector, and I hold to the promise that in you, Jesus, all things are working together. Because of what you did, Jesus, you have loosed the bondages that used to tether. You have been my ever-present shelter, strong enough for stormy weather. And in my time with you, Jesus, your word starts to take root. In good soil, I see new fruit. Eventually, I find only you could make me better. Jesus, you have given me freedom from a curse called sin. Because of your love, Jesus, I have guaranteed victory over every evil thing within. Every sinful temptation and natural inclination to obey my own flesh, you will take me from glory to glory. That is what you said. And you are patient as I'm being changed. So, God, thank you for your chillness, for your realness, for your tenderness when I felt tempted and pressured to be busy, but you called me to your stillness. I see in the word you consider me, God, and your care surrounds me. God, your loving kindness quiets, humbles, and has the power to change me. God, your strength and your wisdom turn things around. You never leave, and that is a promise I will not doubt. Even in the hard things, I'm grateful for your promise because I'm backed up by an omnipresent, victorious shout. A yes and amen in Christ Jesus, so unwavering I will stand. Jesus, you have instilled in me a new confidence lately of your unchanging hand. Constant, perfect promises of your love. These are things I don't deserve. Mercy, patience, and purpose I never earned. I don't deserve to be your daughter, but for that I'm grateful. I didn't earn anything you've given me, and for that I'm thankful. Never enough on my own to change, but Lord, you are constant, and God, you are faithful. Thank you, God, that you remind me that everything will be all right. Your word promises that you will bring everything into completion, so I have a reason to give you thanks tonight. In Christ, I have been given permission to be free, to consume the bread of life. It is a gift you've given me. I am free, and I have open access to give you anything. But when I approach your throne, God, I want to remember who you are. So, Father, when I pour my heart out to you, let my words not be wasteful. Instead of complaints, your will be done. God, teach me how to be thankful.
That was so beautiful.
That's hard going after her.
I'm reading a poem written by our church administrator, Stephanie Moore, and she's one of the hardest working women I know. And I was already getting choked up just reading her amazing poem. And then I'm choked up after this, so we can be girls, right? We can get chillonas, we can be crybabies. Oh, God is just so good. So this is what beautiful Stephanie wrote. Lord, help me. She says, good day or bad day? Thank you, Jesus. Hard work, no play? Thank you, Lord. Day off or layoff? Praise you, Jesus. Friends gained or family lost? Praise you, Lord. Good report or bad report? You're my King, Jesus. Eating steak or apple core? You're my King, Lord. Agree or disagree? Your word, Jesus. When it's just me, your word, Lord. Sick and afflicted? I love you, Jesus. Accused by the wicked? I love you, Lord. Thankful in all circumstance? That's your will for me. I raise my hands. I surrender completely. Sorry. This is where it gets hard. Come what may, you are still God. I'll do it your way because you are my God. Your will, Lord, is the place for me. Come hell or high water, I will stand. Your will, Lord, is the place to be. I surrender my desires to your command. You died the death that I deserved. I only live because of you. All I am is here to serve. Whatever you ask, I'm pleased to do. I won't grumble. I won't complain. The life I live is not my own. In all circumstances, I praise your name, waiting until the day you bring me home.
Hi, everyone. This is fun. It's really hard to go behind two wonderful artists like that. My poem's called Remember, and I fought the Lord on this because we were tasked with writing a poem either about Thanksgiving or something that Pastor Jess had taught last year, and I took a position substitute teaching at this Rock Christian School, and I didn't hear Pastor Jess's messages, but the Lord had me study chapter 9, 10, 11, and 12 to see if I could pull something from there. And I thought the easy route would be to do Thanksgiving, but that's what he wanted me to do. And I actually, when I was in my study, I got to chapter 11, and I went, oh, the Lord's Supper. No, I'll skip that. And then he kept bringing me back. And this is what he gave me, what the Lord gave me. It's called Remember. Take the cup and remember the blood that Jesus shed. Remember his blood was broken, his body was broken when you eat this piece of bread. This new covenant was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah that God would forgive the sins of man through Jesus, our Messiah. Remember that we are sanctified and cleansed from all our sin because Jesus is our substitute. We are free because of him. Remember we are healed by his stripes. Our bodies are made whole. Peace rules our minds and our hearts. Our God is in control. Remember the cross where Jesus died and the price he was willing to pay. That redeemed our lives, reconciled us to God, and restored us to righteousness that day. Remember that is not all Jesus did. That is not the end of the story. He rose from the grave to give us new life and and live all our lives to God's glory.
Wow.
Well, that was fun and unique. Thank you. Of course, every person we had do a poem for us got attacked. And so, Blanca, we are praying for your dad because he's in the hospital. And Stephanie is having to take her husband to the hospital today for a fix because he is recovering from a big surgery. And I just want to apologize to you guys for not having lattes. I don't know what happened there, and I was uninformed, but I hate Folgers coffee, and so it is Folgers, and I'm so sorry. For some of you older people, you love it. But for all of us young people, it's detestable. So I just want to let you guys know I'm aware of this, and I'm very sorry, so please forgive me and my team. And there is not much creamer left, so please don't be creamer hogs, okay? If you've already gotten some, please don't pour half the bottle into your cup because that was what was happening when I went over there. And so, and then if there is there lids, girls? Because I spilled all over myself. So if there is lids, please put them on there because I'd like to keep our carpet somewhat nice. So, okay. Sorry, those are just me being mom and, you know, these are things I don't like. And so we decided this year that we're not going to do turkeys, that we're not going to do all of it because on our team, it's a lot, and our team was in transition because Julia was transitioning out, and they were all coming in, and they were brand new, and so just bear with us, guys, okay? Maybe next year we'll be able to do the turkeys again, but that was a lot of work on our team, and I just didn't want to kill them because we have girls' night out coming up. So, and, you know, it has been a season. It has been a hard season. It has not been a great season for everybody. I'm looking around. I know your stories. You guys have been through some hard things. You've been through some hard places in your families. I'm seeing all the people that we've visited in the hospitals and all the things that, if you look through this past year, you fought a good fight of faith. And I just want to say, well done for fighting, girls. You didn't give up. You didn't stop. You didn't let Satan say, hey. And just like the coffee, at times it's not the way we want it, but life does give us things we don't want, right? Life brings us to hard places. And let me tell you, I got up this morning and I was like, I don't want to go. I'm tired after last night. I laid it all down. There ain't nothing left of Jess for this morning. And Dan said, I will race you. Let's see who could get ready first. And I was like, oh, that you're on. Because I'm like all about competition. And so I lost, girls. I'm in a bad mood because he got out of the house first and got to take Titus first. And I'm so angry that I did not get out of the house first. And so I think it's funny how we could just be real here at Women Rock. How many of you are just glad we could just be ourselves and we could say, you know what? I failed this morning. I didn't get out as fast as I wanted to. We don't like the coffee. And I'm not going to let you live it down, Mel. You're not ever going to do this again. And so, but I will say those desserts look really good for those of you that can eat them. And so it is a good, good time to be alive. And God is faithful. And I had been thinking about how thankful I am this year because I went through a season probably about 2 months ago, and we were getting ready to make all the plans for girls' night out and put up all the Christmas decorations. Don't they look amazing? Melissa and her team, that's why you got coffee, because you got Christmas decorations. They've been working their butts off. And we lost our girl that puts it all up for us. So Melissa and her team, can I just say, you guys rock. It is absolutely gorgeous around this campus. And you guys are amazing, and they're all new at it. And so I just want to, if you were a part of that, can you just wave at me and say, awesome, thank you, girls, for volunteering and helping us. I'm so grateful to you. And Mel, you might not have gotten the coffee right, but you got the decorations perfect, okay? And so these are the things that, like, life gives you. I think it's a good example of life. Not everything's going to go the way you want it to go, but then there's these really beautiful moments in the middle of the not-so-beautiful moments. And I was in this place. My mom was still gone in Oregon, and I was like that crazy mom trying to work, and I was in this season of, like, I think I lived in the car pretty much, because it would be like, drive Titus to where he needs to go, come home, change, go back to work, have a few meetings, go take Titus, bring Titus home, go back to work, have more meetings, then go back home and work and try and get your studying done, make dinner, and be a mom, be in his world. And then it was just like, and I was like failing. I felt like I was dying on the vine. And the girls were asking, what's your vision for Christmas? Like, nothing. Like, I was bah humbug. I was Scrooge. And I went home and I cried. I just got in my room. I shut the door. I told the boys, don't talk to me for a second. And I went upstairs and I cried. And the Lord said, what's really going on here? And I said, well, you see my world. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. My poor car is going to wear out the way I'm running. And he said, that's not the real issue. And I said, I have to plan for the holidays, and last year I hated them. It was my first year without my dad. My mom was so broken, it was hard to watch. It was terrifying to have to go back into and be inspirational for you girls, to set it up for this church and to be happy and always be. But girls, I wasn't. I was hurting, and I was feeling almost like that remorse of like, here we go again, and is it going to be as bad as it was last year? And the Lord began to minister to my heart, and he said, I can see where you're coming from and why you're there. He was so gentle with me. And then he said, but I need you to not look at who's not at the table this year, because I pictured our table and how empty it would be, and how my dad would be missing, and how Dan Sr. would be missing. And how, you know, all of my kids were dating these amazing people, and those relationships didn't work out. And I'm sad that I wasn't going to have the table full of new people around it. And I didn't know if mom was coming back or not. She was saying she was, but she always changes her plans. And so I was like, what if she doesn't come back? And then it's going to be me and Dan. And my boring kids. I mean, that's where I was at, girls. Can we be real? Is anybody else like me? And I was telling Joanne and the team, I don't have anybody. It's just me by myself in this very big world full of people, but alone. And I felt like the Lord was like, no, your table may be smaller this year, but you need to celebrate who's at your table. And I went, yeah. And he told me this. He said, I want you to invite your sister Kim over. She doesn't have anyone either. And I want you to invite her boys over for dinner on Monday night. This was a Saturday. And I think it was Friday, actually. And I was like, oh, it's so late. She's not going to be able to come. And I called my sister Kim, and I said, hey, and the boys, hey, guys, I know we're the only ones around, but, like, if you wanted to come, I'll make dinner if you show up. Everybody showed up. And I was like, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to make. And for 2 years, my mom had given me the recipe, but my dad was very particular about his spaghetti. And mom liked to sneak things into dad's spaghetti, if you guys don't know that. And my dad was very much so aware of mom sneaking things into his spaghetti sauce. And so he would tell me when she would leave the room, don't leave my spaghetti sauce, because she's going to pour something in it and I have to go potty. And I've been waiting for you to get here until literally this was what would happen on Thanksgiving Day. And so little does he know, mom was already like dumping things into that sauce like behind the scenes, you know. And so I remember my dad calling me, and it was as if he knew he was going to pass. And he said, I need you to write down my recipe. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get dad's recipe. I'd been asking my whole life for it, but no, he was ready. And he would tell me, you know, a handful of this, Jess, and a handful of that. But not your hands. Your hands are little, Jess. Think about my hands when you do it. Think about me when you do this. And he was very particular with me. And so I literally wrote in my notes, not my hands, dad's size hand. And when he died, I lost the notebook. And I couldn't find it anywhere. And so I was cleaning my house after I'd already invited my family over, and I'm thinking, what am I going to make? And Jordan, you know, she's my niece now. She's amazing. They're pregnant. They're going to have a baby. I'm so excited. And she's like, are we going to have spaghetti? And I was like, oh, mom's not here. I guess I have to try and make spaghetti. And I opened a drawer that I had looked in 1,000 times. And there it was, just sitting there beautifully, like as if God handed it back to me. And I was able to make spaghetti for my family. Even though my mom wasn't there, even though my dad wasn't there, it was just me and Kim. It was just the boys. And then the Lord told me this, and I want you to bring this to your Thanksgiving tables this year. He said, now ask them, what have I been speaking to them? And you shut up. Because as preachers, we overtake everything. Like, we could tell you a million things that God has done in our lives. And he said, I want you to hear what I'm doing in those boys' lives. And so I started it off, and I said, hey, guys, you know, can we go around the table, and maybe there's a scripture that the Lord has been speaking to you in your own personal time, and maybe share with each other as we eat dinner tonight what you got from God. And oh, my goodness, by the end of, these are grown men. I have grown men nephews, just so you guys know, and they are just like, one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. God is speaking to them individually. God is building their hearts. God is doing something in their lives. And I walked away that night so full. And I said, okay, God, the table may be smaller, but God, it's not any less richer. Because Dad had did his job, and we have been poured into, and now it's coming out of my nephews, and I'm seeing God move. Me and Kim were a mess. We had a lot of spaghetti. We just cried. We had such a good time. We played a game together. And guys, when my heart was like afraid, and I was having, you know, post-traumatic syndrome of the last year's Christmas and Thanksgiving, the Lord just swooped in, and he said, will you just stop and look at who is at your table? And then invite me to come sit with you, and invite me to come have and listen to my testimony of what I'm speaking to the people around the table. So girls, I want you this Thanksgiving. I don't know what your Thanksgivings look like. Ours looks different now. But you know what? We're making the best of it, Mom. We're going to have the best Thanksgiving we've ever had. And Mom's making her spaghetti. And but I think I'm even at the point that if I didn't get spaghetti for Thanksgiving, I'd be okay. Because as long as I find myself in a new perspective of Thanksgiving, that I'm grateful to what God is doing, even though it looks very different. And your Thanksgiving might look different. Some of you might be spending them in hospitals. Some of you might be, you know, I don't know what your story looks like. But whatever that story looks like, you bring Jesus wherever you go. You make your tables beautiful. Whether it's wherever it is, you bring scripture, always bring scripture, girls, to the table at Thanksgiving. And bring a heart of gratitude to the people that are sitting around that table, because who knows what it took them to get there? Who knows what they had to overcome to come sit at your table? They may not talk about it, but you know what? God knows, and you are a light to them. And so I have these papers that I didn't tell Melissa that I went behind her back and had made this morning. Aren't they pretty? Shane did a good job. And so the Lord was talking to me this morning. He said, you know, sometimes what had gotten me through my place of darkness, my place of sadness, was to reflect on what was good. And so I have this for you around your tables. And I want you to make a list, okay? We're going to make a list for yourselves, okay, of what you're thankful for this past year. And you may even find that there was joy in the middle of the pain, and that you're thankful for that moment that God had given you in that very hard transition or change or painful moment. And I want you to start making a list. And this is what the Lord told me. Tell them to roll it up, like I don't know, like a scroll, and shove it in your Christmas tree. Okay? You're going to shove it. Nobody will see it. Just shove it in your Christmas tree somewhere. And at the end of the season, when you're taking down your ornaments and you're taking down your Christmas tree, read it again and remind yourself, let this be a season of thankfulness through Christmas. Because so many times Thanksgiving gets pushed to the side, and we go into a season where we're giving lists to other people of what we want. How selfish, right? But yet here God is going, can you just always keep gratitude in your heart through this season? Because it's going to be something you have to work at. It's going to be something you have to keep in front of you. It's going to be something that God wants to do in you. So I'm going to just read some scripture, and if you want to start writing, you can. And I'm going to read some scriptures. And I just hope this fills your heart, because I don't know about you, the word fills me, it edifies me, it strengthens me. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Isn't that good news? Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. Psalms 50:14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. Do you know that when you begin to do this, it's a form of worship to God? Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Are you thankful today? Hebrews 13:15, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. This is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who is in Christ always. He leads us in triumphal procession, and through us he spreads the fragrance of knowledge on him everywhere. Isn't that good that the fragrance of God's knowledge is being poured out on you today, girls? You don't have to have the answers. Your tables don't have to be perfect. They don't have to be fully filled. You just have God's knowledge and the fragrance of his love with you and filling your homes through this season. Psalms 116:12, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? God benefits you in every way. His promises are true and amen. They are yes and amen for you. When your hearts want to get weary, or when you can easily find ourselves complaining, because all of us can, when we're weak and we're tired, begin to remind yourself what this year was at the Rock Church. It was a year of strength. So when we are weak, he is strong. And I'm grateful that he's our strength. I'm grateful that he's our strong tower. I'm grateful that he has been there for us and been there for you. I have watched God do miracles in your lives this year. I have watched God do miraculous things in your hearts this year. I have watched you girls grow more mature in Christ every time I'm with you. And I just want to say, nobody may tell you this, but I want to tell you how beautiful you are. I want to tell you how special you are. I want to tell you how thankful I am that I get to be your pastor. I might not be perfect, but guess what? You're not perfect either. So we're all in this together. And we have a God who is perfect. And I am thankful that he gave us each other. I'm thankful that in his presence, that his goodness flows. I'm thankful that you showed up today. And I'm thankful that you are here today, healthy and strong enough to be able to walk into this building, and that God is good. I am thankful for you today, that you have come into this house to hear the word of God that will change your soul, that will fill your heart. I'm thankful today that you are more than enough, girls. You are his eye. You are the apple of his eye. You are the one he thinks on. You are the one he intercedes for. You're not alone in life. And I'm thankful he has not left you nor forsaken you. I'm thankful he has not abandoned you, but that he builds you up and that he strengthens you. I'm thankful that he's faithful to his word. And I'm thankful for you. And girls, the word of God needs to be your forefront, your behind you, around you. When you don't know what to do the rest of the year, if your heart gets heavy in this season, because it can be, it's very easy to do. So many different reasons why, whether you've lost a child, maybe you just don't have the money you need to have the things that you used to have, and the traditions have changed, or the people have changed, your tables look different like ours. I'm here to tell you, let's celebrate what is in front of us. Let's begin to change the perspective of what wasn't. Let's not look back. You know, that day the Lord was talking to me about Lot's wife, and he said, she's the only one that I talked about, and her looking back. I didn't even give her a name because it was so detestable to me. And he said, I told her not to look back. And she was looking back at what was. She was looking back at her family that they had to leave behind, her nephews and the family that didn't want to go with them. They made their choice. And she looked back as the city was being destroyed because of its filthiness and its nastiness and its perversion. And God says, don't look back on those days you cannot change. Don't look back on the family that you are not responsible for them. Look forward to me. Look forward to what I'm going to do. Begin to see a new future. Begin to see a new way. Begin to see new paths, new streams in the desert. God is doing something new, church. I'm here to tell you, He wants to pour out on your heart. But if you're always looking back at what was, you're never going to be able to see what's in front of you. Because you're going to walk and you're going to fall and you're not going to be able to make it. And your heart is going to grow heavy as mine did. And the Lord pulled me out of that and He said, don't look back. Don't look back. I want you to remember, but don't look back. Remembering and looking back are two different things. Two different things. Remember what is good. Remember what is right. Remember the beauty of something, but it doesn't mean you hold on to it and you never move forward from it. Don't allow it to keep you in a place of stuck, because God has not called us to being stuck. God has called us to move forward, to go higher, to bring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to your families this Christmas season, to your neighbors this Christmas season, to the lady at the grocery store this Christmas season. You are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So girls, get out there and tell someone about Jesus. Get out there and tell them why you're thankful. And when you feel like hot bah humbug, like I did this morning, because I did, and I'm just being real with you, you will feel that because we're human. Guess what? Turn it around and just say, no, stop it. I have to tell myself, stop it, Jess. Stop it. Do you ever talk to yourself? Okay, well, talk to yourself. Stop it, whoever you are. Stop it. And you have to stop that, because our God is too good for us to stay in our pain. Our God is too good for us to look back. Our God is too faithful for us to not be okay with it. And girls, He loves you today. I just want to tell you that He absolutely loves you today. He absolutely cares for you. Do you know that he has you on His mind all the time? He doesn't slumber nor sleep, but He's always in intercession prayer for you. He loves you so deeply. You say, but there's so many horrible things happening around the world. Do you know He can handle that and actually be in your world and care about the little thing that you, in comparison to people dying in Uganda and God providing, I don't know, to pay a bill for you? God can do both at the same time. Did you know that? Because He's so special and He's so wonderful. So don't discredit His power because you can't wrap your mind around it. Let's just step in and let God be God this Thanksgiving. Let God be God this Christmas. And when you have a sad moment, it's okay. Have your moment with God, but don't go backwards. Go forward from that moment. Go forward, girls. Have the moment, go forward. Keep moving forward. Keep going forward, because God has good plans for His beautiful girls. And that's what He wanted me to tell you today. So fill these out, roll them up, put them in your tree, shove them in, and then at the end of the season, remind yourself of why it was such a good season. In fact, if you're smart, I would just keep writing, well, during Christmas season, God did this and this and this and this. And what if you kept a tally of everything you were thankful for, and maybe one day when you pass and your kids have to clean up all of your decor, they find your gift of your little gift of thankfulness to them one day. How special would that be? That they get to see how good God has been to you. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just think that we need to say it more. We need to thank God more. So I'm going to ask Mom to come up, because we're going to take communion. We're going to take communion together. Such a beautiful time. Do we have a piano, or do we have background music or anything? Because this would be the time. Okay.
Testing.
There you go.
And I'm opening.
Did she
this
do amazing
will,
on Sunday or what?
I will definitely spill this if I don't.
It's so good to have her back.
Okay, so
I'm glad you came home, Mom.
Oh, honey, I was coming home.
I just didn't know.
I know. But and before we take communion, can I just say a couple of things? Folgers Coffee is not evil. I grew up with it. How many grew up with Folgers Coffee? Drop. That was.
We have satisfied half the room.
Yeah.
And this half is mad.
Okay, so how many of you love Folgers Coffee? How many of you can tolerate Folgers Coffee? How many of you are grateful to have any coffee? And then I just felt like I needed to defend myself about the spaghetti. Because I wasn't here to...
Well, he's not here to defend himself either, so go for it, girl. It's all your story now.
Yeah, it's my story now. It's my life.
How it said
God's
is how it is now.
Jim,
yep.
Now.
He doesn't get a word.
Listen, I would do anything to have that man back, but he... How do I describe this man? He didn't cook, but spaghetti was sacred.
Sacred.
And he would keep an eye on me because he didn't trust me. He trusted me with his life, his ministry, his children, but he didn't trust me with his spaghetti sauce. That bothered me. And so even though he didn't trust me, I was his sous chef. And so I did all the chopping. And then he did all the stirring and the adding and the micromanaging. So there I am in my little chef's hat with my big knife. You know, for him, because I loved him. And so there might have been a few times where I tasted his spaghetti sauce when he wasn't looking, and it might have needed a little something. And I might have added it inadvertently, and it enhanced the recipe, but I was pretty faithful.
I have to tell you, I asked all the kids around the table, does this taste different? Because Nana wasn't here to slip in the things she slips in. And they were like, I don't know. It does taste a little different. Like, I think we like it the other way. So okay. Now you heard it. They all liked it with mom's little help.
Okay. I love you.
So it was good. You. Okay, these are just cheesy things, but
this is family. But
this is good. This is good. We are going to take communion because it is such a good thing for us to remember. Because remember, I said remember, but don't look back. And I have another story on remembering because I was thinking about communion. I was coming to pick you up the other day. She was preaching on Saturday morning, and the way that I get to her house is I have to drive around the cemetery that my dad is buried in.
So
I drove around the cemetery, and I heard the Lord say, she's going to ask you if the tomb has gone up, because we were having a gravestone,
a monument,
tomb, I don't know. We're not Egyptian. So, like, a monument. I just heard the Spirit say, she's going to ask you if it's up yet. It's been over, a year and a half, and it hasn't been up. And then they made it, and they called her wife. They were like, because she put her name on the other side of it, and there was, like, Deborah Cobray, wife. And so my brother said, we have to fix that. And I was like, why? Wife is good. Yeah. Like, that means she's double wife.
Yeah, and Jim did have several wives before he became a Christian. So maybe.
Yeah, no, she went there. And so I'm driving past, and the Lord said to me, she's going to ask if it's up yet. And you're going to, after church, she's going to want to go. And I just thought, oh, that's funny. And I never told you that. And then you said to me, hey, do you think the monument's up, when I was taking her home after Saturday service? And I was like, of course. And it's raining outside. It's like one of those movies, you know, like we're going to be in our umbrellas, like trying to find it. And I said, Lord, I don't like going and visiting him there. And he said, but why is that? And I said, because my dad always made it like a negative thing. Yeah. Like, why would I go to a gravesite? They're dead. They're not here. They're in heaven. They're not. Their body's not there. And he would do this whole theological thing, you know, with me. And I grew up like that. And I grew up that it was, like, tacky to go to a gravesite. And the Lord said, but why wouldn't you go and talk to your dad? How do you know he can't hear you? And then I don't allow that. And I said, well, I don't know. It's not in Scripture. And he said, there you go. And he said this to me. He said, think about communion. When I sat with the disciples, I told them, take, eat, and remember, this is my body poured out for you. And he said, that was something that I put in your hand as Christians to always remember what I did and who I was to you as a Christian. Why wouldn't you go and visit your dad and remember who he was and what he did for you? And I was like, thank you, God. So I'm released now. I can go to the gravesite with you now. I felt really weird every time because dad made me feel weird. But it was a beautiful thing that God gave us. And I realized that the Lord was giving us something very tangible because yes. He knows we need that to never forget who he was to us and what he did for you. And so this Thanksgiving, let's take communion with remembering how awesome he is and all that he did for us, all that he did for you, your children, your families, your husbands, all of it. God is so faithful. He's so faithful. And so I do want to just do this moment. If you need to get right with God, because the Bible says, you could just stand here. Or you sit. I'm not going to go long. We're going to just do this quick. It says to examine yourself in the verses. Because it says you don't want to partake of communion and bring a curse on yourself. But you want to partake with a clear conscience, knowing that you know who God is and God knows who you are. Because this is a personal thing that you have with your creator, your maker, the love of your life, Jesus. And so if you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to know him today. If you have never said, yes, I believe Jesus was God. And he died on that cross. He rose again. He gave his life as a sacrificial lamb so that you, just so you know, beautiful girls, you would never be able to make your sins right. But it's because of that cross that day that he gave up his life so that you can come to him and you can be saved through him and that you can live in eternity with him in heaven and that he wants to be with you. He wants to be reconciled back to you. And by doing this, you have to take the first step of saying yes to God and no to your old man, no to your old life, and no to your old ways. Those places are places of despair. Those places are places of defeat. But with Jesus, you have hope, you have love, you have strength, and you have courage. But it's only in these moments of that God comes and meets you there personally and wants a personal relationship with you. And so if you're in this room tonight, he is wanting you to have a personal relationship with him. So I don't want you to take communion in the wrong manner, but I want you to take it in the right manner with being right with God before God. And maybe there's some things in your heart and there's some places that you've been and there's some places that you've journeyed in and you've drifted from God, or maybe you don't know who God is and you want to get right today. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. And so this is what I'm going to do. I'm not even going to have you raise your hand. We're just going to pray. We're just going to pray. And we're going to invite God to come into our hearts. And if that's you in this room and you need to get right with God, let's straighten ourselves out and let's line ourselves up with God. And let's invite him to come be the Lord of our life, come be the one that changes everything, the one that empowers us, the one that equips us, and the one that strengthens us and gives you a new life in him. And your old man is dead, and you have a new life in Christ Jesus. So today, if you've never prayed that prayer, pray it with us in a moment. If you've been running from God instead of to God, I want you to pray that prayer with us tonight, or today. I keep saying tonight because there's no windows. And I want you to pray that prayer, and I want you to invite Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and rededicate your life to him, because running from God instead of to God is putting you in a very dangerous place. And I want to make sure that you are right with God, and that if you were to walk out of this room today and you were to pass away, that you would be living for eternity with your creator, with the one who loved you and the one who gave everything for you. And so today, let's just do this. Everybody bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes and say, dear Father God, I thank you that you are God. And so today, I ask, Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I repent of my sins, of my old ways, of my mouth, of my thoughts. And Lord, I ask that you would come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Teach me your ways. And today's the day that I am washed clean. because of your sacrifice on that cross. Thank you for making a way for me. And thank you for loving me. You are God, and I am now your child. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give him a hand. Awesome. Is it Deborah or Barbara, both of them in the back? They're right here in the back. After service today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or if you rededicated, these beautiful women would love to give you some information. What do you do now that you are saved, now that you've invited Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life? How do you live this life? We don't want you to do it alone. And so we give away friends here at The Rock. And so they will connect with you, pray with you. If you need a Bible, they'll get you a Bible, okay? So don't do life alone. Please make sure you connect with these beautiful women right afterwards. Okay, now we're going to get into communion, because now if you are right with God, you are good. And so we can take communion, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11:23, and it says, "For I received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so we have these communion cups. Oh, that's almost coming out. I don't want you to lose your bread. Okay. And I'm going to do the body portion of this. And I was just thinking about the bread of life. I've been just dwelling on it because I'm in Ruth. And Naomi said, "I've got to get back to the house of bread." It meant that God was pouring out favor and blessing and goodness back on Israel. And I was thinking about it. He wants us to remember that he's the bread of life. He's our source of strength. He's the one who makes sure that we are filled with all that he has for us. And when you forget and you're weak like I was, and when you're weary like I had been, and when you find yourself in a place of not enough, I want you in this moment to remember he's more than enough. And that his body was ripped open on that cross because he was doing it to provide for you all that you need in this world. He knew we'd be living in these times, girls. He knew that we'd be watching signs of the end times. He knew that we were born for such a time as this. And yet his body being broken on that cross was so relevant for us in this very moment, in this very time, and in this very age. Because his body being broken was more than enough. It will fill you. It restores you. It nourishes you. His word equips you. He has given you all that you need. And in Christ, you have all that you need. And so today, as we remember the body that was broken open, that we remember the sacrifice of what he gave, I can't help but think about all that he did. He came in the form of a babe. He stripped himself of deity, and he became a man for you and I. That was a step down, believe me. And he did that so that he could know you more, so that he could walk in our shoes, so that he could understand what we would experience. And he lived the human life only for 33 years. And he did so much in those 33 years. And then he came and he put himself on a cross. And he allowed himself to be broken open. He allowed himself to be stripped open. He allowed his skin to tear, and he allowed the beating to happen, because with every stripe, we're healed. With every broken place, we are to remember that he has fulfilled all the things that we may not get to see, but in the spirit and by the power of God, it is working behind the scenes, and that he is still more alive than he ever was when he walked this earth. And so, girls, don't forget how alive he is today. Don't forget that you carry Jesus into your tomorrow. Don't forget that you are full and that you are filled and that you are nourished, because he is good, he is faithful, and he is true. And so let's just take a moment and look at this. Pastor Dan likes to break it. I think that's actually very cool, because it reminds us that his body was broken. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that you chose to give of yourself for us. Thank you that you came in the form of a babe. Thank you, God, that you did signs, miracles, and wonders and showed us the power of your love on this earth. Thank you, God, that you put yourself on that cross and you suffered pain and agony so that our sins could be washed away. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are more alive now than ever before. Thank you, God, that you are still working. And thank you that you are our bread of life. And thank you that you are our source. And thank you for being our strength in this year. And Lord, we honor you today. And we thank you. And we eat this in remembrance of you. Amen. Okay, Mom, your turn.
Yep, I'll open it.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as Jeff said, we're remembering and we're thanking. And this cup is the new covenant in his blood. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of teaching on the law of sin and death and the law of the spirit of life in Romans chapter 8. And Paul writes, he wrote in chapter 7, "O wretched man that I am," after he explains the battle between the flesh and the spirit, and that the soul is the pivot place, and it's where the battle is on, your mind and your soul, your personality, who you are. It's where the battle is raging. And when we walk in the spirit of God, we are absolutely free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death said, you sin, you die. The law of the spirit of life says, believe and live. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it abundantly. And I think the amazing thing for me this past year, I'm in year two, ending up 1 year, 8 months since my husband passed and is in heaven. And so everything has been a brand new walk of faith for me. And they say the second year can be harder than the first. But I can tell you that in every day that I have walked on the earth since Jim has gone home, I've not been alone. I'm learning to live alone in the natural. And I'm learning how to hear the Holy Spirit and welcome him in my life in a new way because I don't have Jim. And so that's a whole new adventure. But I can tell you that every moment of every day that you breathe and live and walk on this earth as women of God and daughters of God, he is with you. You don't have to feel him to know by faith that he's with you. And that he hasn't called us to live a life of fear and sadness and sorrow. There'll be seasons of life that God is going to walk you through them, and you didn't ask for them, but they're going to happen because we live here and it's a broken place. But even the worst, which is death, which is total separation from the one you love. And marriage is so different because everything in your life changes because you were one. Name, finances, everything changed. Everything changes. God never leaves you or forsakes you because he says this wonderful thing. He said, this is the covenant, the new covenant, in my blood. What does that mean, in my blood? It means that from the Old Testament to the New, that sin came into mankind through disobedience. And something had to take the place of the person that was guilty. And it was called a sacrifice. In the law, in the Old Testament, in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Old Testament, in Genesis, we see that God actually clothed Adam and Eve after they had sinned and covered them with animal skins. Well, how do you get an animal skin? Somebody had to die. A creature had to die. His blood was shed so that they could be covered. And then Cain and Abel came. And God told them about the sacrifice. And we know he taught them and told them because it says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abel brought a more acceptable sacrifice. Abel couldn't have brought it if he didn't hear the word of God. Cain brought his way. Abel brought God's way. And it was the sacrifice of a lamb, the first of his flock. Blood had to be shed. Why? Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So when blood is shed, it confirms and it reveals the death of that sacrifice. Does that make sense? Therefore, blood was the sacrifice for the sin. And then he gave Israel the law and the sacrifices. And the blood was shed and put on that mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And it was all a picture of what was going to happen thousands of years later when his son, who had the human body that Jesse just talked about, the last Adam, was going to die on that cross. Jesus died. He gave up his spirit to the Father, his soul, his body died. The Bible teaches us very clearly that he went into the regions of the dead. He took the keys of death and hell. He ascended on high. He was raised, and he put his blood on the mercy seat of heaven where original sin happened with Satan. Now hear me. This blood in the Old Testament, it covered, but God's blood didn't cover. It completely made new. And it purchased every promise of God to his people from the Old Covenant Testament. That's what testament is. It means covenant. From the Old Covenant promises to the New Covenant promises, everything God has said about our lives, every promise he has given us, it has been purchased and made absolutely, completely possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I've experienced this in such a new way this year, because now I am experiencing new needs in my life that I've never had. And I can testify to you, this blood has bought everything God says we can have. And everything is given to you, and you access it by faith. Not because you see it, but because you believe it. And when you drink this cup, and when I drink this cup of grape juice, or this little thimbleful of grape juice, it represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was spilled on that cross, that was spilled on the earth, the sacrifice of God himself, that paid the price for everything we will ever do wrong, for everything that will ever happen to us, for every foul thing Satan will try to throw at us in this broken planet. This blood not just cleanses us and makes us new and makes us a new creation, daughters of God, but now it pays for the promises and says they are yours, child. Now begin to access them by faith. And it doesn't matter what season of life you're in. There's a promise of God, whether it's your family, your finances, your personal image, whether you're alone or not alone, whether you are good or whether you're bad, whether you're in a season of success or a season of sorrow, whether you're in a season of whatever, there's a promise of God, and there is God's word that says, I want you to begin to stretch out your faith and reach up and receive the grace and the promise that I've given you, because what is impossible with man is possible with God. And this cup is the New Testament sign and covenant, purchased every promise for us. And when we drink this cup, when we remember, we are releasing our faith and saying, Father, thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And that life begins on earth, in a life well lived for God. Whatever season you're in, nothing is too hard and nothing is too small for the Father that loves you and gave his Son for you. So this cup, what do you need? Where are you at? What are your worries today? And what are your burdens today? Or what are your joys today? Maybe it's nothing. Maybe you're in such a season right now that, oh my gosh, you have to pinch yourself. There are seasons like that in life. God hasn't called us to constantly be under it. But if you are under something today, look up and remember the promise of God, and you drink this cup in faith, and you remember that he paid for it, that he bought it for you, and receive it with grace and with faith this Christmas season and this Thanksgiving season. So he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you for Jesus. We drink this now and we remember.
Just pray over the girls for this new year and this Christmas season they're walking into, Mom.
I would love to pray for you. Father, thank you for the daughters. Thank you that you made us women on purpose for your purpose. Thank you that no matter what season we are walking in, what age we are, what generation we're from, or what tribe you've brought us forth from, you have brought us into your kingdom, into the kingdom of the Son of your love. And you know us, and you care about us. And there isn't anything in our lives, no detail that is too small for your attention. I pray this year, Father, that your girls would hear your voice more clearly than they've ever heard the voice of their father. I pray, Father, that the precious and the mighty Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead would be so resident, his presence, so continually resident in their spirit and in their soul that, Lord, they would recognize his promptings. They would recognize his voice. They would recognize his miraculous power working around them and in them and through them and for them every day of this coming year. Let them sense the amazing, amazing revelation and know the presence of Jesus Christ in their life as their high priest, as their Lord, as their Savior, as the one that understands them, as the one that has walked through every temptation, as the one that will take them and surround them with power and love and of a sound and a well-balanced mind. Let them not be ashamed, but let them lift up their heads and lift up their hearts this year with faith and joy. And let them know that they are loved by you, Father. That they are loved by their King. That they are loved by your Spirit. And that they are loved by heaven. And may they even know, Lord, that you love them so much that you've even stationed angelic beings around them and around the families and around the children and around all that they do. Protect them. May your favor go before them. May your goodness and mercy follow them. May they know that you are a God of generations and their households shall be saved. And may they be a woman of absolute faith and peace and joy this coming year. And I thank you for the girls of the Rock, for the girls here. We love them, and they are exceedingly magnificently beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.